KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8:03, it's cloudy and 37 degrees in Atlantic. Again, we look for skies to become partly sunny later today, a high of 56. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by First National Bank. They're locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. In the news this hour, a former youth minister from Council Bluffs faces up to 17 years in prison for his role in the sexual exploitation of teens. 32-year-old Brent Giroux pled guilty Tuesday to one count of sexual abuse in the third degree, one count of felony sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist, and one count of misdemeanor sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist. His sentencing was set for March the 7th of 2012. Giroux has been charged, or rather had been charged, with 61 counts of sexual exploitation by a counselor or therapist and 28 counts of third-degree sexual abuse in connection with acts he allegedly performed while serving as a youth pastor with the Victory Fellowship Church in Council Bluffs. His offered plea to the third-degree sexual abuse charge means that Giroux did not admit to any specific elements of the offense, but he acknowledges a jury would most likely find him guilty if a trial were held. The charges were filed after Giroux told authorities about the incidents on February 16th of this year. He admitted the offenses to police only after church leaders confronted him upon hearing from four young men who came forward with the allegations earlier that month. According to court records, Giroux told investigators he felt it was his duty to, quote, help the teen with homosexual urges by praying while he had sexual contact with him. News time is 8:04.
At First National Bank, we strive to make your banking experience as simple and convenient as possible. If you would like to enjoy the benefit of banking anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, without an interruption in your busy day, sign up for our free online banking. Signing up is easy. Just visit our website and click on Enroll to try our online banking demo for a trial run. Locally owned, locally active, and proud to be your bank. In Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Oneida, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
A Northwest Iowa man has been arrested after officials say he led authorities on a chase that ended when he crashed his car into the Winnevegas Casino in Salix. The Iowa State Patrol says 54-year-old Robert Bechtel of Cherokee was charged with drunken driving and numerous traffic violations. The patrol says the chase began Monday night when a trooper tried to help a motorist parked on the shoulder of Interstate 29 near Salix. When the trooper stopped, the driver took off. Authorities say the chase ended when Bechtel pulled into the casino's parking lot, lost control of his car, and hit the building. Authorities say a plugged line led to the release of untreated wastewater from a central Iowa meatpacking plant into the North Raccoon River. The Iowa DNR said workers of the Tyson Fresh Meats plant in Perry traced the discharge to a plugged line in the plant's treatment system. Tyson estimated that between 10 and 40,000 gallons of untreated wastewater reached the river. The department said it was monitoring the cleanup and will consider what it called appropriate enforcement action. Livestock farmers are demanding a change in the nation's ethanol policy, claiming current rules could lead to higher meat prices if corn growers have a bad year. The amount of corn used by the ethanol industry and demand overseas has farmers worried if corn production drops sharply, feed costs could skyrocket, forcing them to reduce their herd size. That, they say, could result in smaller meat supplies and higher prices at the grocery stores. The ethanol industry says that's unlikely, but farmers have the backing of food manufacturers, who also fear a federal mandate to increase ethanol production will protect that industry from any rationing amid a corn shortage. A Virginia congressman has introduced a bill that would partially waive the ethanol goals when corn inventories are low. The USDA estimates that 12% of Iowa households struggled with food insecurity last year, sometimes going without meals. Mike Owen of the Iowa Policy Project think tank says the government's food stamp program has helped to put food on many of those tables, but there's a looming challenge.
That still is a question as to whether this budget-cutting frenzy that seems to have taken hold in Washington is going to hit programs that have a critical impact on people's lives without a supporting replacement.
Andrew Cannon, an Iowa Policy Project researcher, says about 340,000 Iowans have gotten food stamps in the past year.
As many Iowans are deciding how to dress their Thanksgiving table, thousands more face more pressing questions. Where will my next meal come from? Do I skip breakfast or lunch today? is this enough food for my family for the rest of the week?
The budget deal reached in August already outlined cuts in the Women's, Infants, and Children, or WIC, program, which pays for staples like baby formula, eggs, and some fruits and vegetables to women who have children under the age of five.
In Iowa, an average of 54,000 infants and children were served per month. 16,000 women were served per month by WIC in the first 8 months of this federal fiscal year 11.
There are over 1,100 food pantries and other charities that provide food to needy Iowans, and Cannon found nearly one-third of Iowans who received food stamp benefits in the past year also got food from a pantry. The Iowa Department of Natural Resources says hunters can still purchase a deer tag in many counties for the November antlerless hunt that begins on Friday. DNR state biologist Tom Litchfield says the season is available in 41 counties.
It has mixed popularity throughout the state. Some hunters really like it, and some hunters really hated it. The season was added with the intention that it would be a temporary season, and what the DNR was looking for was a time period where we could get a few extra antlerless deer killed.
The number of antlerless deer tags available in each county depends on the deer population.
The objective that was established in 2003 was to return Iowa's deer herd back to levels that existed in the mid to late 1990s. And so as counties reach those goals and as they near those goals, then it takes less of a doe harvest to maintain deer at those numbers. And as a deer herd decreases, it takes less of a harvest to make it to continue to decrease.
Shotguns, handguns, muzzleloaders, and bows may be used, and there are some special rules that apply to the hunt.
Licenses for this November antlerless season are only valid on private land. That's where the bulk of our remaining high-density deer populations are, and so we're trying to focus the hunt on those areas where they're needed the most.
Litchfield says there are still some areas that need to drop the deer herd numbers.
Approximately from south-central Iowa through into southwestern Iowa, up in the Lust Hills, scattered counties in central Iowa, and you know, some harvest, you know, pushing over into southeast Iowa wouldn't hurt, but the need for it, for the harvest during this specific season isn't there like it was in just a few years past.
He expects the overall deer harvest to be down 5-6% this year. Hunters reported taking just over 127,000 deer in all hunts last year, which was down about 7%. The November season ends Sunday, November 26th. The regular shotgun deer season will begin in December. And Iowa's unemployment rate held steady at 6% in October despite an increase in jobs. Iowa Workforce Development spokesperson Carrie Kuntz said the number of unemployed dropped below 100,000 for the first time since November of 2009. The problem is that jobs are like a Black Friday bargain. A lot of people are lined up for them, but the supply is limited.
The rough estimates is that for every job that's available, there's four people basically available for it, four people that are unemployed available for the job. So, and of course, on top of that, you always have the people that are transitioning careers that weren't unemployed in the first place. And then you have those that where the job may be open, but the applicant pool doesn't have the skill sets to meet the job.
Kuhn says there were some new jobs created.
We added 2,300 jobs this month, the majority of those coming in the goods-producing industries of manufacturing and construction. And compared to this time last year, we're up just over 13,000 jobs.
And she says the job losses were the highest in the leisure and hospitality industries. She said there was also a hit in government jobs, specifically at the city and county level, as local governments made several million dollars in budget cuts. The financial services industry lost some jobs as they saw a cutback in employees hired to handle mortgage revisions. Iowa had an unemployment rate of 6.2% at this time last year, so Kuntz says holding in place is a positive. The U.S. unemployment rate dropped to 9% in October from 9.1% in September. And in national news headlines, after 2 months of steady declines, the number of people applying for unemployment benefits is up slightly, but the four-week average is at its lowest level since April. The government also reports today that consumers barely increased their spending last month, but their incomes rose by the most in 7 months, and that could boost spending during the holiday season. More than 42 million people are expected to go somewhere for Thanksgiving this year. That's the highest number of travelers since the start of the recession. But AAA says traveling won't be cheap. The drivers are paying about 20% more for gas, and airline tickets are about 20% higher than Thanksgiving of last year. News time is 8:13.
First National Bank is locally owned and proud to be your full-service bank. They have the expertise needed to provide you excellent service with a great selection of banking and investment needs. They have a complete line of lending services available, and they offer insurance sales. At First National Bank, you'll be greeted with a friendly face at the teller's window as well as each special desk. First National Bank in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, and Anita, where you'll get the most banking service for the least cost. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
In our funeral announcements this morning, 86-year-old George Oakley of Audubon died Saturday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for George Oakley will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. 70-year-old Carla Gustafson of Kirkman died Saturday at the University of Nebraska Medical Center. Funeral services for Carla K. Gustafson will be Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Pauley Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And 92-year-old Eileen Jensen of Audubon died Sunday at the Friendship Home. Celebration of life services for Eileen Jensen will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by First National Bank with locations in Fontenelle, Greenfield, Messina, Anita, and Correctionville. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.